I call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Tuesday, October 9th, 2018. And as has been our tradition for many, many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the regular session minutes of September 24th.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the regular session minutes that's presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Next, it's my pleasure to have the swearing in of our recently, I guess you would call it re-elected, council members. And we'll all go and break down. Now here you've got the
right
forms.
There. Yes.
We gotta go down there?
Yeah. Take your time. Congratulations.
I'm back. I'll stand here that way you look like. See ya. And
short front.
Raise your right hand and just repeat after me.
I do
swear and affirm, that I will support,
the Constitution of the United States,
and that I will be faithfully, bear true allegiance, to the state of Maryland, and support the Constitution and laws thereof. And that I will, to the best of my skill and judgment, diligently and faithfully, without partiality or prejudice, execute the office of, councilmember of the town of Berlin, according to the Constitution and laws of the state. Congratulations. The next 4 years rewarding and invigorating.
Absolutely. Four wheeling. Watch that fifth minute or something.
You live before to get sworn in a county commission.
Oh, yeah.
Next item on the agenda is item number three, the Tattoo Ordinance Committee's recommendations. And although we know you all, just give you all an introduction yourself. Appreciate that.
Patricia Doofendock. Do you need my address? I live in Berlin.
Matthew Amy.
Thank you. Yes. I'm just to hear what you have to say.
Well, we know we've got a lot going on this evening, so we'll keep it short. At our last meeting, we had basically agreed to basically finish what we started, which we're not finished with yet. So we would respectfully ask that the mayor and council allow us to continue to meet bi-monthly and to extend our moratorium for 3 months, although I believe, according to the staff report, there was a suggestion to extend it even further, which I believe we agree is fine. We got plenty of work to do.
Extend it to 2 years.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. According to this conclusion on the staff report, the extension would be from November 18th, 2018 to November 18th, 2020. And in the interim, we hope to be able to finish the work that we started and propose something worthwhile.
We see that this problem is bigger than Berlin. It's bigger than Worcester County. It's really the state of Maryland. The state of Maryland's lack of any kind of structure or they don't have any requirements or certification, which prevents an industry which a lot of people participate in. It prevents it from flourishing in our state and being safe for the public. And that's my main concern, is with the expanse of this art form, it's not controlled in Maryland. It has a potential for being a completely unregulated and dangerous expression. And we feel, we hope that you concur that the state of Maryland should look into this, that we are asking our state representatives to come up with the tattoo profession, to come up with standards. They have standards for your hairdresser, your barber, you know, your car mechanic. Everyone has to know safety and public health standards. Matt was telling me, I did not realize that if you have a tattoo in the state of Maryland, you can't give blood for a year. Now, you know, that's a big deal if you need blood and, oh, I had a tattoo, I can't give blood. But if it was under the supervision of, with care and public safety in mind, this might be another hurdle that individuals who participate in this would not have to, you know, they wouldn't have to give up giving blood if they wanted to, for instance. So that's just an aside, but it's bigger than just us, bigger than Berlin. And but I don't think it's an industry that we should shut the door on.
That works for me.
Okay, very smart.
Well, I agree with Patricia in that this is a public health issue, and it's, my reason for volunteering in the beginning was to share my expertise on how my industry works with regulations in a safe and, you know, efficient manner. So I agree with Patricia 100%.
Just to add, as a member of that committee, we all see the need for tattooing in the state, and especially here in Berlin, to be regulated. But it should not be regulated to such extent it prohibits.
Good point.
That it prohibits someone going into that business. I think we agree that the regulations should be realistic and thorough, but not prohibited.
Might I add that they should not add any financial burden to the town or...
Thank you.
And I mean, it should be up to the business to support the process. It's not the town's responsibility to finance an industry's, I mean...
Absolutely.
Support.
But it's a big issue that is for the statewide. We're not asking the town to come up with a system and hire an inspector and all of that. That's, you know, obviously that's just too big of a burden, and we recognize that.
I'll make a motion that we extend the moratorium per staff recommendation.
Okay, and that motion is to extend the moratorium on our tattoo operations in the town of Berlin for a full year from November 18th, which is the current expiration date, November 18th, 2018 to November 18th, 2020. So that extends it for 2 years and gives the
is the tattoo ordinance committee, which obviously we want to continue to meet as you feel is appropriate. You know, every
yes,
other month working for you.
Thank you.
And you know, and meet as you need. So that is the motion presented by Councilmember Kendall. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. I'd like to say one more comment is that it's not surprising to me. I mean, it's one of the things that I've learned, particularly since serving on the council and particularly as mayor, that I find it's often ironic that the state of Maryland considers itself progressive. Who are they kidding? I mean, this is just one of many things we run into, regardless of this. Development, regardless of this. Growth, environment. Yeah, there's certain little aspects, but in general, the state's falling behind. And through whatever, you know, stories they're telling themselves up there in Minneapolis, I hope that people are watching, because Berlin's a pretty mainstream community, and yet over and over again we're finding ourselves up against antiquated and archaic regulations and laws that just simply don't make sense in the 21st century. And I think this is one of those. I'd also say that I agree totally this is a public health issue. I think it's somehow been construed over time to be turned into another one of these cultural war type issues. And that's totally inappropriate and wrong. We don't need the government deciding what our culture is appropriate or not. Otherwise, the Beatles would have never been allowed here in the 60s. I mean, things change. And I do believe that the current regulatory atmosphere that you are, you know, are dealing with as the Tattoo Ordinance Committee reminds me of what I learned about history about prohibition back before 1933. You know, something that was culturally acceptable had for several years become legally prohibited. And to what advantage? To much disadvantage. And it took many, many years to kind of get our bearings straight again. And I hope that we don't have to go to these extremes. I do encourage you to continue your work. I think it's interesting to not notice this cultural change in this community and in general, at least in contemporary American society, to not notice you have to be blind. Okay? And if someone's blind, we certainly have our sympathies. But I think some people are culturally blind of their own choosing. So all the best. We appreciate your work. And keep at it.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Number four on the agenda is a public hearing on motion 2018-25, a motion to accept the recommendation of the Berlin Planning Commission to amend the Berlin Comprehensive Plan by adding two parcels identified as Worcester County Tax Map number 20, parcels 47 and 318 to the growth area of the town of Berlin within our comprehensive plan. And folks, please just come right on up and introduce yourself.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I'm Joseph Moore, 319 South Main Street in Berlin, and I'm here this evening representing Mr. Girardi, who is to my right, who is the owner of the property that we are requesting you all to add to the growth area. We have submitted, and it's in your packet, several exhibits. Let me say that I sent to Dave Engelhart 22 exhibits, and he called me back and he said, Joe, you cannot present more than 8. So I presented 6. Now, what Dave didn't say, and I appreciate it, was nobody wanted to listen to me run my mouth about 22 exhibits.
He's being very diplomatic.
But as you know, and it's in the record, and it's in Mr. Engelhart's recommendation on his staff report, we had a public hearing before the Planning Commission. And at that time, we had several persons testify. and it's all in your staff report. But the purpose of tonight's hearing is for me to show you all how the extension of the growth area comports with your comprehensive plan. And it is for that reason that I submitted to you what I was really my first exhibit, and that was the statement of purpose for the amendment to Berlin Growth Area 3. As you know, you cannot consider an annexation of any property that is not within a growth area, so obviously this is a precursor to our potential submission to you all in the future of annexing the property. And I say this, and the mayor and council know this, but I say this for the benefit of the folks here. When there is an annexation into a town, it is subject to an annexation agreement, meaning that it is a contract between the person being annexed in the town and the town itself, with the agreements regarding the parameters of the annexation. The third phase, if you are following the recommendation of your planning staff, would be for Mr. Girardi to come before the Planning Commission with regard to a detailed site plan. Now, you have conceptual matters, which I'll go into, but the first matter, and I'm not going to read my four-page statement of purpose, but I think that, excuse me, that with regard to that, my first section, which is denoted in A, is the comportment with the Berlin Comprehensive Plan. And basically, I've referred to the transportation plan and the land use element plan. And your land use element plan is really what we're trying to have as consideration for the development of this property, and that is that your land use element encourages residential and commercial mixed uses in the town. And when we get to the site plan, which will be an exhibit that I'll present to you, it's in your packet, you will see that we have done precisely that. We have a conceptual mix of commercial use together with a residential use being a hotel on the property. It also says in your land use plan that your objectives include promoting business and job opportunities in the Maryland Route 346 corridor, which of course is Old Ocean City Boulevard. The majority of development obviously is in the east area of 346, but we believe that this is an appropriate location for development in the western area of Ocean City Boulevard. In your transportation element plan, the roadway system analysis also comports with the location of what we call the Berlin Gateway, or a visitor's center at the location. Mr. Girardi will answer any questions that you have tonight, but he has consistently said that he wants this to be a focal point for visitors who would come to Berlin. As you know, at this point in time, there are two accesses from Route 50 coming east into Berlin. One is 346, which is precisely at the location of Mr. Girardi's property, and the other is 818. And at this point in time, the only factor that is there on 346, which would guide people coming down Route 50 into the town of Berlin, is a sign which you all have put up on Mr. Girardi's property, which in effect says, "Welcome to Berlin." But the focal point for the access to the town, in this case, would be a facility which would accommodate information for visitors and the folks who are intent upon coming into the town. Your transportation pattern further says that U.S. Route 50, of course, is the main roadway to enter Berlin and access Main Street. Moreover, the routes adjacent to the town within Worcester County jurisdiction provide an important transition from rural to urban areas as one approaches Berlin. In your historical and cultural areas section of the plan, which is the sensitive area element, it says that access provided here would provide Berlin with a number of benefits, including increased property values and tax revenues as a result of a renovation and restoration, increased revenues generated from tourism. And again, our focal point would be, in effect, guiding folks off of Route 50 down Old Ocean City Boulevard and into the town of Berlin. We are in Worcester County, of course. So my section B is our comportment with the Worcester County Comprehensive Development Plan. And Worcester County's land use goal includes efficiently provided adequate public facilities and services and to foster a cooperative approach to land use planning and development. Further, Worcester County land use objectives, including locating new development in or near existing population centers and within planned growth areas and working with municipalities. Further, it says Worcester County also states that appropriate public service expansions would be planned with mutual agreement on growth projections and locations coordinated between the county and the municipalities. It's important to note that one of the considerations which the Planning Commission considered important was for the town of Berlin to control the nature and development of this property, which we say is the gateway to Berlin. We are in the present growth area of the county, so we have the right in the county to submit development. Now, obviously, we don't have sewer, but Mr. Girardi has 18 acres of land. It was previously utilized as a residential property. There is sewer capacity there, but we do not believe that that's the appropriate way to develop this property. We think that it should be within the town so that you can control what the appearance and concept of development is to the first entrance that folks come to get into the town of Berlin. We also mentioned that the Worcester County Comprehensive Plan submits as part of its plan the management plan for the Lower Eastern Shore Heritage Area. And what that does is the Lower Eastern Shore Heritage Area Management Plan is intended to get folks off of the major highways and into the byways of the Lower Shore Heritage Area. One of the focal points of the Heritage Plan is 346 and the other byways, as they are called, which give access to the towns to get folks off of the main arterial highways in Worcester County. One of the lower heritage byways is Maryland Route 346, which guides everybody into the town. Now, I presented a lot of exhibits to the Planning Commission, which I will not do tonight, which showed that the Heritage Plan also focused on downtown Berlin as one of the points that they want to guide people into as part of the Heritage Plan. But the strategy, for the Lower Shore Heritage Plan includes establishing local visitor centers in historic towns and villages using existing interpretive sites, businesses, or specially developed areas. As we all know, in order to provide that, which downtown Berlin has wonderful visitor facilities, the folks have got to find their way into our town. We're very proud of our town, of course, and we think that everybody ought to know their way here. But when people are going into Ocean City along Route 50, in many instances, it is not a focal point for them to come into our town. And we're trying to get them into, obviously, the downtown area. Another concept which we believe is very beneficial to the town is we have a commercial focal point that is at the intersection of the main arterial highway through Worcester County, Route 50, and one of the heritage byways, which is the entrance to the town, 346. That means that Mr. Girardi can submit site plans to the Planning Commission and with concepts in our annexation agreement with the town that would create an additional focal point for commercial use that enhances the downtown area, but perhaps is not appropriate for the downtown area because of its size, 18 acres. So it is an adjunct to the town. We believe that it is a good addition to the town. Now, Kelsey, if you'll go to my next exhibit, this is just as I am required to do. This does show the growth area number 3 and our subject property up in the immediate left-hand corner. And the important thing about this is that the Planning Commission recommended to the Mayor and Council, and the Mayor and Council passed in its comprehensive plan this accommodation of this subject property being in, quote, future growth area. And we believe that it comports precisely with your comprehensive plan as its vision for the extension of the growth area number 3, which is the kind of the orangey pink in the area. Growth area number 3 encompasses about 500 acres. This addition of 18 acres would be an addition of 3.7%, a very small addition to the growth area. But what it does is we believe that it importantly takes that growth area to an intersection which is beneficial to the access to the town. And then the next exhibit which we had, I am simply obligated to show you that the Berlin corporate limits, which is designated by the red line and which encompasses the Taylor Farm that you all annexed, the roadbed of Route 50. So what I've done is I've highlighted our location in yellow, showing that we are indeed contiguous with the town, which we believe is an important concept. Next, I submitted the aerial photograph of the property, the 18 acres encompassed. We're on two sides of the DP&L property, which is the jag into our property on the north side of 346. And as you can see, we extend to the intersection in a small triangular area in the right of the facility. Next, we submitted for your consideration because part of your comprehensive plan, and a very important one, of course, is to analyze the benefits to the town from an economic situation with regard to tax benefits. So what now, these are conceptual, I want, because obviously our site plan is conceptual with what we would submit having to be proven to the satisfaction of the Planning Commission. But the potential uses are denoted therein, and with regard to the cost of development transformed into the value to the town based on your present tax rate. The site plan could generate $80,852 in a conceptual tax benefit to the town on a yearly basis. Also, Ms. Allen made sure that we put in there that the assessed value and a conceptual plan is not a fixed thing at this point in time. So we have noted right at the bottom that the fluctuation could result in a revised tax benefit reduced to an amount of $64,682 a year. Those are the parameters if our concept was afforded us. So then we go to the next exhibit, which is the last one that I submitted in the package, and this is our conceptual site plan. What we would do is we would have the focal point up on the right-hand side at the immediate intersection. Mr. Girardi has committed to the town to give you all whatever easement you need in that area regarding signage, directional signage, and that type of thing. Behind that would be a convenience store with a visitor center area in it. And then the other concepts would be some retail. He did have in there the potential, actually, of an automobile dealership. And then to the eastern area of our property, the potential for a hotel. I'm not telling anybody anything that you all don't already know, but there have been some feelers put out from various areas at the adjacent areas of the town, both on 113 south of town and on Route 50, for the location of a hotel. We got a hotel downtown, obviously, and that's the focal point of our town. But there also, obviously, if we had a facility with room enough in a site for a hotel for visitors, then again, we would provide additional facilities for potential visitors to the town. Before I turn it over to Mr. Girardi, if he wants to say something, I remember that Councilman Tyndall expressed a potential concern about our utilization of your EDUs. So I reached out to Ms. Kreider with regard to the circumstances of the EDUs. If you take the maximum EDUs that we would need for this concept plan, and it may be substantially reduced, of course, but the maximum potential of what you see as our concept, that would require, under your calculations, 43 EDUs. At this point in time, as of her conversation with me this afternoon, you have 1,179 EDUs that are unreserved, and that's important because it doesn't include any that are being reserved, any that are paying ready-to-serve fees, but 1,179 EDUs are unreserved and available.
Joe?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I correct you? There's 1,179 total. 225 are reserved and paying ready to serve. There's 954 that are on.
I'm sorry. That's the original one that I had. I misunderstood our conversation. All right. So 954 are available. Okay. That's the number that I had originally used till Jane and I talked this afternoon, and I screwed it up, but I'll get back on the track. Of the 954 EDUs available, after reserves for infill and ready to serve.
Yes.
Okay. That increases our potential utilization of your available EDUs to 4.5%. Now, obviously, we believe that when you weigh the benefit of the concept and the benefit to the town, that certainly that does not strain the future potential of your EDU reserves, which you have. So, our obligation is to show you all that the extension of the growth area comports with your concept in the future of the town with regard to your comprehensive plan. There are folks that say that we're somehow or other going to extend the town too far, that we're somehow or other going to create a change in the character of the town. And I have to say this, that Mr. Girardi, my client, has proven in his history with this town that he is very concerned about the compliance with the concept of living in Berlin. He has redeveloped numerous properties. He owns properties right in the downtown area that he has single-handedly created redevelopment on. You don't rezone and you don't plan for people, you do for property. But you also want someone who has the ability to comply with what they have as their concept, and that's Mr. Girardi. We do comply with your comprehensive plan. It is a beneficial use for the town, and it's really a unique location because it provides the ready availability of an entrance to this town, which we all want to maintain, get visitors to, and work into the future.
I can't talk as loud as Joe. Let's back up a little bit. 4 years ago, I looked at this property. Now, I've looked at it beyond 4 years. It was an ugly piece of property. When I come from down Route 50 coming east, I always come in town that way, okay? And what struck me one day, about 4 years ago, is how ugly that was and how visible it was coming down Route 50. And I went back and circled a couple of times when it struck me to look at it again, and there is nothing that blocks the vision of that property as far as the eye can see. And it's unlikely there will ever be anything that will block that vision. And so then it occurred to me that, okay, if that's the case, maybe we could make it into a place that would be attractive as an entrance coming as a gateway into our town. I talked with the town to see if there would be any interest in doing that type of thing. And then I got a positive yes, that would be interesting. And so I then approached the owner and entered into an option agreement. And I put it under an option agreement. 3 years, 2 months, and 2 days ago, we met with the zoning committee, or the planning committee. 3 years, 2 months, and 2 days ago. That committee, we went through this presentation, not as elaborate as this. And that committee voted unanimously to enter it into the growth area and to annex it. Months later, we met with the zoning committee a second time. Now, what happened in between that time, I purchased the property. It was no longer an option. I bought it. I negotiated with the Delmarva Power because it's got a lot of ugly lines on it, to try to consolidate it. And the reason time was urgent is that Delmarva was replacing a wooden line with metal poles. And I knew if ever was going to be able to afford to move it, now was the time on that one line. After a lot of negotiation and $189,000, this line they're putting in anyway, and I asked them to move it over closer to the line existing. So it took one more pole, and it took 85 feet of five more wires. That was $189,000. Now, that's expensive, but you have no choice in dealing with Delmarva Power. And so I made the commitment. I went ahead and did it, and they then moved it over. In addition to that, I had to buy back the deed for the property where the existing line was, and so I paid an additional $9,000. Obviously, we've been doing planning. We've been doing cleanup, okay? That's what I've been doing. We hauled away 3.5 huge dumpsters of trash. We had the house moved. We had the trailer moved. It was packed with junk in the yard. You all have seen it. I don't need to tell you. My vision was to make it so it's something attractive when you come down the highway and you see it. My vision is to have Christmas decorations out there on the point at some point, and so it looks attractive as an entrance coming into our town. I've done several buildings in this town, and frankly, some of your worst buildings. And I've made them into nice-looking properties, functional properties, in terms of our town. I did it as an investment, but I did it because I wanted the town to look a lot better. And I picked all the worst things on the main streets coming into town, Wim Street, Main Street, and then I finally got to Broad Street. When that gentleman passed away, I contacted the wife right away and told her I'd be delighted to buy her property to help her out. And that's what I did. And it was, you know what it was. It's a piece of junk. It now looks nice, okay? I'm working on the last one at the intersection of Cedar and Bryan Street, which looks equally as bad. Well, that's my vision for making that look nicer out there, okay? Didn't know what's going to go on there at that time. It was just an idea of how do we make it look something nice and productive coming into town and would be worthwhile. After that initial meeting with the zoning committee, 3 years, 2 months, and 2 days ago, we met 38 months later with that same committee. We went through the same thing we're going through tonight in much more detail, actually. And that committee voted 5-4, one against, and one no vote, which is against. And the irony is that the people voted against it are the ones that gave the motion on the prior meeting and second the motion. And then after I'd spent a lot of money buying the property, and saying they didn't disagree with it now, is a, you know, not a very good feeling, okay? I still believe it will be an attractive thing to coming in our town. I still believe it can be done in a very tasteful manner without jeopardizing the quality of our life in town. I live in this town. I don't want the quality of life diminished. I'd be stupid. I own businesses on town. I don't want to hurt restaurants in town. I have two on my lease. So that's my vision. One of the main things I had to go there, it's gone away now because time overtook us. I could not make any type of positive offer. And so that's now no longer available. So we have to come up with another plan B for something on there. But we can do that, okay? And I'm willing to work with a town and a zoning committee because I don't think the county should be controlling that property that close to our town. We ought to be controlling it, okay? And I'm willing to work with a zoning committee or planning committee and what works, what makes sense in terms of our town. So that's kind of been my thought process in that. Answer any questions you may have.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Girardi?
Yes. What is your permanent residence address?
9 Bay Street.
You live at 9 Bay Street?
I live in about 9 Bay Street, yes.
Okay.
And I have a home next door to it that my children own.
Okay. Also, when is our next comprehensive plan?
The comprehensive plan needs to be updated between now and 2020. We have a grant to do the resilience element, which we'll be working on later this year, early next year. And then probably in fiscal 20, we'll be putting some additional funding in there to take a look at the other elements in the comprehensive plan.
Which is where people would have the opportunity to take part in the workshops that we did in 2010.
Right. So
the surveys that took place in 2010, that's when that document would be revisited.
The plan for the resilience element is to talk about growth. You might recall we got a grant, about $20,000 from DNR. And so we're working with the University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center to come up with a community engagement process that'll either take place in the next couple of months or February and March. We've got some issues with the grant I've got to sort of sort out. The intention there is to talk about several issues, growth in particular. I think the timing is right, and it was a key issue in the strategic planning process we went through, I think, about 3 years ago. Plus, I think growth and the environment and financial sustainability, in my mind, are all connected. So the thinking is we would have discussions on a community-wide basis on those topics as part of that process.
Thank you. Also, if we go back to the comprehensive plan, let me see if I have my notes. We had, according to the comprehensive plan, on page 8, we had two separate workshops where approximately 45 people attended each workshop. There was a residential survey that went out to, and we received approximately 420 surveys. And then the comprehensive plan quotes, assuming that times one survey per household, the overall response rate was approximately 25% of the entire town. With that, most of the residents were full-time residents. One of the top three responses was that the minimalization, there we are, of sprawl. On page 10, it talks about 53% of the respondents felt expanding the town's existing boundaries through annexation was inappropriate at this time. Page 11 talks about providing a future growth pattern that has the least impact on water and sewer resources and other community facilities. And it says that the plan should act as one of the several items helping the town plan for the future vision of Berlin over the next 20 years to maintain a high quality of life in Berlin. So with that, I ask the applicant, what's the rush and why you cannot wait until we begin this process again so that you can take part in that discussion?
By the time you get to that, I'll probably be dead.
Well, sir, I hope you're around for a very long time. So, and on behalf of everybody.
It's now been 3 years, 3 months, and 2 days, okay? And since I first talked with the committee in terms of this, and they were encouraging me to move forward with it then, and you're saying now not do that. I've spent a lot of money based on the good faith of what they told me. I don't see... We're not talking about some enormous thing that is adding to the volume of our town or adding to a lot of residential to our town, our school system, our traffic pattern. So, you know, you can always delay anything, but I don't see the purpose of the delay.
Well, sir, I respect your investment, on behalf of everybody in the town of Berlin, thank you for investing in our town, and thank you for fixing up these blighted properties. But I believe that we develop plans for a reason. We ask people to participate in those surveys and workshops for a reason. And with that, I respect the time that they gave, and therefore I will not be voting to amend the comprehensive plan.
I assume that.
Well, thank you.
I have one question.
Yeah.
You said that one of the plan businesses that were in that project have gone by the wayside because of time. Which one was that?
Preston Motor, Pittsfield. They're going someplace else.
Right.
And if I could, Councilman Tindall is my counsel, and I respect him. I respect his view. He's always well prepared. But zoning is not a plebiscite. Your survey that he quoted, and I have your entire comprehensive plan with me, the survey that he quoted was to get the feeling of the town's people, which is what should happen, in order to establish the concepts and the contents of the comprehensive plan. Respectfully, what I have done in my Section A is just do exactly that. I quoted from the plan that came about as a result of that. which talks about the economic development, which talks about the mixed-use development. The your expansion with regard to Route 50 has predominantly been to the east. You all remember when I represented Royal Farms in that annexation some time ago. But the focal point here is different than that. The focal point here is to create a welcoming area to the western approach to our town. Zach and I do have, we agree to disagree, and we always try and disagree agreeably, which we have done, but the quotes that I have given are the quotes in the plan that were as a result of the area that was given.
And Mr. Moore, I use those quotes to substantiate a claim that I've made time and time again. When I ran for office for your district, I knocked on every single door in that district, along with my opponent who's in the audience. And an overwhelming consensus was that we need to put a pause on growth. So I respect your vision for the property. However, I would like to see you at that planning workshop whenever it takes place and not amend the growth plan.
Well, just so you know, I was at those workshops. As a matter of fact, I was one of the ones that help fashion the Planning Commission's determination of where the concept of Growth Area 3 would be. But you and I respect each other's opinion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. This is a public hearing?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's going to be. Now we're free to ask any questions?
We're going to have a public hearing. I would like to hear from the public. Whenever the public hearing starts.
Okay. I have some comments, but I'll wait to do the same. Does anybody else want to make comments before the public hearing? David, is there anything?
Well, this is the public hearing, but you have to invite the public to speak.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll give everybody a chance to speak. And then
we'll move back. Yeah.
Okay. I call to order the public hearing for the motion to include, excuse me, growth area of the tax parcels 2047 and 318 to the growth area of the town of Berlin in our comprehensive plan. Just to note, this is not an annexation. This is saying that this area of land that is being proposed for development would not remain in the county, and therefore the county would be the governing instrument in determining what goes there under what conditions and everything related to development, or does it come with tonight's public hearing should be included in the growth area of the town of Berlin, and then the town of Berlin would be responsible for determining any conditions of annexation and any conditions of development. So, with that said, does anyone wish to address the council? Yes, sir.
John Wisnett, 226 West Street. My biggest concern is the area between Main Street and one of these parcels of land.
You can just a little bit. I'm having trouble hearing you. Come forward or something, because we can't quite hear you.
Sorry,
that's okay. Rather than before you shout, just come on down.
My concern is the area between Main Street and that where this property is being developed. A lot of farmland in between there. If this property gets annexed out there, then everything in between is going to get annexed. We run water and sewer out there. And the capacity of what we have now would probably not be able to handle that. This is where my concern comes in. Because you know, once that's developed, everything in between is going to get developed as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes?
Jeff Smith, 101 Davis Court. And I agree with the gentleman there. There's definitely a potential for opening up 500 acres of development along Old Ocean City Boulevard. Unless the council is going to address that, I would tend to agree with Councilman Dindal that this is a proposal
Melrose, 307 Ann Drive. I think this public hearing is an opportunity for anybody in the town to come and voice their opinion one way or the other. It's been advertised. I was born and raised in this town. Certainly anything like this, if it was going to be detrimental, I would not be in favor of, very much in favor of this. It could only help us, not hurt us.
Anyone else wish to address the mayor and council? Yes, ma'am.
Cam Bunting, 208 Drive, Berlin. First of all, what's your name? Davis. No, you live on Davis. Your name is
Jeff.
Jeff Smith. Okay, sorry. Anyway, I feel this was.
Can you address the community? So can you hear me?
Okay. I'll stand over here.
Yeah, please.
Anyway, I feel like if anyone, I'm here tonight for this meeting. I feel like if anybody else was interested, they would be here tonight for this meeting. So I agree with Carol Rose. The concern about whether or not the rest of the land between Main Street and Mr. Journey's gets put into the town. Sorry, no, back to you. It's already in the growth area. So anybody could already do that right now if they wanted to. I happened to meet Dr. Pete Abbott today and said, just for the heck of it, what do you think about the Abbott Farm, which is a big piece of property right on the corner of Old Ocean City Road and Main Street? And he said, unless, who owns Google? Unless they were going to pay him $160 million, they're not going to, you know, they have no interest in doing any kind of development on that property. I had talked to Zach before about this property, and honestly, you didn't want to know the facts. And I'm sorry, but, you know, I tried to explain what he was trying to do, and you had really already made up your mind, and this was months and months ago. So I kind of, you know, I think you need to get all the facts, and until he actually came out and said what he was going to do with the property, you know, your part as a council person is to be a lead. And so I'm sorry that, you know, I just felt that way.
Can I comment on that, if you don't
mind?
Actually, the time that you're referring about, there was a previous time that I actually met with Mr. Girardi's wife when I was running for office, and I knew that Mr. Girardi had some plans for development. I didn't know exactly where they may be. I gave her my contact information and said my phone is always open. You approached me when I was selling peaches at the Peach Festival. I gave you my contact information, which you have, and I said, please reach out. I'd be happy to talk. Maybe that's not how you don't remember the conversation, but that's how I remember it. And then after the Planning Commission, I actually approached Mr. Girardi and said, here's my contact information. I'd love to hear more about your project. My phone has not rung one time for either one of those. Mr. Moore has my contact information. It's readily available. Anybody that knows me knows that if you call, I call back within 24 hours. So I would urge you to call next time. And no, you didn't.
Who you had talked to. Anyway, I guess it doesn't matter. What does matter is, I lost my train of thought. Let's see, there's something else. I know what it was. The people that I think you talked to are concerned about other subdivisions coming up and a lot.
Call me anytime.
Call me anytime.
Just a comment on what Ms. Bunning's saying. I'm not here to dispute that the property could grow, it could add benefit, but I think why we're here tonight is to talk about the comprehensive plan. And for me, that comprehensive plan received a lot of hard work from the people of Berlin, and I respect that work. So I won't be voting to change that.
Does anyone else have any comments they wish to address to the mayor and council? Yes.
Very briefly, Mayor, I have the burden of proof. I'll be very brief. You all have had two annexations that were contiguous with the town by what we call roadbed annexations. The first one was Stephen Decatur High School, and the other one was the Davis Taylor Farm on the other side of U.S. Route 50. You annexed 818 North Main Street all the way up to Route 50. You annexed 346 out to Stephen Decatur High School. The proof is in the pudding, respectfully, with the folks. 818, you have not had one annexation request. You may have one pending, but it's for a commercial use right up on Route 50, not a residential use. 818 extends all the way from Cheers to Route 50. Well, it goes beyond that, but I mean within your annexed area. There has not been one annexation. Same thing really is true with respect to what has occurred on 346 East. The annexed properties stopped at the area just where the shopping center is. It has not expanded. None of that has been a residential conflagration or sprawl or anything. So the issue is whether or not this is an appropriate area in the growth area. And as I say, and I say this very sincerely, the annexation is a mutual agreement. If you all don't like the terms that someone is willing to get annexed on, you don't annex them. We're not here tonight on annexation. We're here putting it in what is designated in your plan as a future growth area.
Any other comments? Public hearing on this motion is now concluded. I'll go ahead and make a comment, and then anyone else who wishes to add. It's interesting being a lifelong resident of Berlin, where for many years we had a growth problem. Nobody wanted to build or do anything. I mean, we're talking decades. Unfortunately, we have gotten to the point where, fortunately, if you can't hear me, then raise a hand or something.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me now? Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's interesting. Different parts of town have been always faced differing attitudes towards growth. And being a resident on what has been the northern border of town, for most of my life outside of town, because it took us almost a quarter of a century to be annexed into the town of Berlin on Old Ocean City Boulevard. If that never happened, I certainly wouldn't be here today. And for many years, I was told, and these weren't hateful comments, gee, don't you understand? You live on the wrong side of the street. That was the big reason that my side of the street was not annexed. And people held firm to that. Of course, now that roadway, Old Ocean City Boulevard, certainly from Cheers all the way out to Stephen Decatur, is now going through a very smooth but very deliberate transformation into a vital commercial corridor. I suspect, assuming that my wife and I are the last surviving residents on our part of that roadway, that we'll be the last residents there because it has so much potential for commercial growth and is undergoing that growth right now. So I think that it's one of those things to consider. When this survey was done, it was clear, and because I'm here, and I think
alive and well and attentive, that there is a great concern about sprawl in terms of residential growth. Okay, it's very clear. People thought that, you know, to be very deliberate in the growth of residential properties, particularly you know, developments rather than just individual standing single family homes. That was message was clear, but it also was made clear that they wanted more commercial opportunities, more opportunities for local shopping, more opportunities for jobs, for year-round jobs. And we were very fortunate that most of our growth in these last several years have been in that direction. Now, I think that the other thing, that the reason there are holes, as I call them, in our in some parts of our town limits is because some property owners have said, oh, I'm fine. I'm not going to do anything. Maybe my children will want to do something with the property. In the meantime, I don't want to pay taxes. Just leave it alone, and when the time comes, that'll be fine. And some of these folks, they make a very good case that they don't, the farmland is rented so it doesn't go fallow. It's not rented because it's a primary source of income from any of these folks. It is just, you know, it's just something that has been inherited over the years. The many of these same arguments were concerned back in 2000 when the town decided to annex the property that is now the Davis Taylor, or was the Davis Taylor Farms. Again, the primary concern then, as it is now, is that everyone's worried about residential sprawl. Well, the town has something to say about that. I don't dispute that that's a concern. But sprawl can work in two directions, certainly from the town out, but also from the county in. And what we one of our, you know, very strongly stated goals, we couldn't quite get there the last time because I don't think the town had thought about growth, and I think it'll come out in the discussion that the town administrator was talking about a little earlier, that'll be taking place in the next few months, is that we want to have our borders for the developable, potentially developable part of town bordered by a green zone. We've talked about it off and on. We think that that's absolutely essential so that there is the town, then there is a portion borderline, and be very frank, probably in every direction except east, because that's all, the horses left the barn, but certainly in every other direction, so that, again, the town can control the fact that the town will not grow beyond the developable part of the growth area. And then it's surrounded by a green zone, which is part of the town. And all that, we had some public meetings, gosh, I'm guessing about 3 or 4 years ago, with the property owners to let them know, we're not out here to mess you up. We're here so we can all get on the same page as far as what the planning is, and if you're planning to sell it or if you're planning to turn it over as an inheritance. So it's interesting. This tonight is basically a decision the mayor and council has to make: is do we wish to have a very substantial say in how this particular property, and over time, the properties that, you know, either stop at our current town limits or are these pockets where the property owners do not wish to be annexed at this time, do we wish to have something to say about it and guide the future of those properties, or do we wish to leave it up to the county, which, quite frankly, it's not their business to decide how our town develops, what our character is, what our values are, what's important to us. They're not our enemy, but they're also, that's not their job, that's our job. And I think that we have, in recent years, we have built upon the legacy that we were given, and I don't think we make bones about the fact that, yes, we're changing and we're adapting to the future, but we try to always put quality over quantity in all things. It's working. Now, I'm sure everyone has some particular criticism or things that they would have done slightly differently or whatever, But generally speaking, the direction the town has been taking has lifted all boats to the best that we know how. I think that is definitely would be the intention of whatever the council decides tonight, is to step back and say, are we better off determining as the mayor and council what the future of this particular property is and these open areas that fall between existing town lines? Are we better off taking responsibility for that, or should we just, you know, leave it to good fortune or whatever we can hope for the county to make those decisions for us? So I just want to tell you how it feels, and as someone who's been dealing with these issues long before I ever got into elected public service, it's real, and I do think that the record has been that we have taken on annexations when the property owner requests it. We do not force them to jump on board, and natural, you know, everybody talks fill-in. Well, fill-in is not just individual properties for single-family homes. Fill-in is also the properties that fall between where people have actively sought annexation and those where we let them be until that time comes. So, whatever, anybody want to add?
I just got one or two things. I think the property is really too close to the town to let the county decide what's going to go there or let the county control that property. I was sitting here thinking what Mr. Girardi said of it's the entrance to Berlin. And it is the entrance to Berlin. As a kid, I remember many times going to Salisbury and coming back, and I should say from St. Martin's to Berlin. That's the only way you could get into Berlin. There was no Route 50. I've been here since day one.
Great show. Great show.
But,
before cars?
I'm not telling you my age. Whatever you think my age is, G's age is the same.
Fair enough.
But I think I'm for the land being a part of Berlin, because I think it's so close to Berlin, and the commercial project that Mr. Girardi has, I don't agree with everything he has there, but I think that can be worked out. So I'm really for the project.
You know, Miss Rose and Cam, Miss Bunning, I should say, were absolutely correct when they said that this meeting presents the forum for folks to discuss their opinion of this project. But there is another place. There is another place that folks offer sometimes us their opinions. And that's out there on the street. That's out there in Walmart. When you're trying to pay for your groceries, you are stopped and infringed upon. And the overwhelming response I have got to this project is that it is a positive thing. It is a positive thing and good for the town of Berlin. And if there are no more comments...
Can I say one thing? That I think that this is truly a great example of why you have a panel of five or six of us, because we hear different things from different people. So it's good to hear what you're hearing on the streets. I think it's good to hear what I'm hearing on the streets, and let the vote be what it is.
So with that, I'd like to move to approve motion 2018-25, accepting the recommendation of Berlin Planning Commission to include parcels, map parcels 20 and 47 and 318 in Berlin's growth area.
Right. I'm not going to repeat the entire motion, but basically we have a motion by Council Member Burrell to accept the motion that's being presented to the mayor and council tonight, and to accept it that those properties be included in the Berlin growth zone. All in favor?
Aye.
Absolutely. All against?
Opposed.
Okay, so the vote is 4-1. And I thank everyone for your participation and coming. That's a very important part of the process. And I would encourage you to stay tuned because this is a process. It's not a one and done. But I think you understand now how at least the majority of the current council feels about our management and influence over potential growth in this community. Thank you. Anybody want to take a little break and decide if you want to stay or not? Thank you.
Thank you.
We're having intermission. If you need to use the restroom, catch up on your text, phone text.
Yeah, right. Then I'd be drinking more. That's an old Williams Tavern shirt.
Got it.
Wow.
Got the whole thing.
Have a good night.
All right. There we go.
I guess everybody was in for hearing.
We're getting ready to start in about a minute.
Yeah.
About a minute here.
I can't imagine. It seems like a small dollar
now. Is everyone ready? Okay, we'll reconvene the meeting. And next is item 5 on our agenda. Motion 2018-24, a motion approving Oceans East development to purchase 24 new equivalent dwelling units, commonly called EDUs, and the applicant is Blair Rainier, who's the developer. developer of the Ocean's East development, just east of, immediately east of Stephen Cater. Thank you. If you all will, we all know you, but if you'll introduce yourself for the
thank you.
Record.
I'm Blair Rainier. I'm here to discuss the Ocean's East project this evening.
And for the record, Mark Spencer Proper, 6200 Coastal Highway. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Rainier. And before he speaks, I do want to thank the mayor and council for agreeing to place this matter back on the agenda to give us the opportunity to be here tonight. So thank you.
Again, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. My request tonight to the council is allow me to request and receive approval for 24 more EDUs for the Ocean's East community. That would allow me to request a building permit contingent only upon my payment of the $400,000 for the EDU fees, the $60 recording fee, and the $5,000 escrow replenishment for the miscellaneous expenses. Over the past many months, I've been in conversation with the Berlin administration about irrigating from the pond at the Ocean's East community. I've asked to be placed on the past four council meetings. Two of these meeting dates I was confirmed to be on the agenda, but at the last minute removed from it, resulting in me being denied for the past four council meetings. I asked for two meetings with the administration and didn't get them. I was told to get an MDE permit approving the irrigation for the pond so I could be on the next meeting in September. I did. I was removed from the agenda. Each time I ask to be placed on the agenda, the criteria change and I'm denied the hearing. The discussion of irrigating the pond is not related to the building permit, and I'm here tonight to request the council to allow my project to continue to be built. And I'm going to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions? Blair?
How's the project going with the existing phases?
We're excited about it. We have good interest. We'll be opening up the first elevator building we've developed on the Eastern Shore, and we're excited about that. We have good interest that building number three, the 36-unit building with the elevator. We'll be hopefully receiving a certificate of occupancy any day now, and it's exciting to see that come together.
What's your occupancy rate with the existing buildings? Do you know off the top of it?
108 units. We have 94 leased.
That's awesome. That's very good.
Okay. On your elevator building, do you have much interest from seniors?
It's surprisingly a mixed bag. There are both seniors and young folks that like elevators. we're very surprised by that result.
Well, it's convenient for groceries and things of that nature.
It is, yeah.
Or baby strollers.
And baby strollers.
Glad to see the seniors.
Not a contingency about the EDUs, but the next phase that these EDUs will allow, can you just kind of review, because it's been
sure.
2 years since we went.
When we got together for the first phase, we had 180 units approved, and more or less it looks like an oval with the clubhouse up at the top, mm-hmm. an entrance right up top. We've built the far side, if you will, of 108 apartments, building 6, 5, 4, and 3, and now we'll be building from the community building backwards, 1, 2, and 7.
Okay, good.
From the community building backwards, that means you'll be closer to the highway.
Right, so we built furthest from the highway,
yeah, okay.
And then we'll start back at the top again and then build that way so our construction traffic doesn't impact the residents as they come and go.
When will we get a final paving on that stretch of Seahawk Road?
Final paving?
Yes.
I think the top coat is down. I know we got some engineer comments earlier this week or later last week about the punch list on that street.
Well, what does that mean when you said the top coat is down? Because I don't know.
I think it is completed.
It is complete. Well, my humble opinion, it really needs work. The way that it is lined up and striped, it is a disaster waiting to happen because the far left, right lane, it just doesn't go nowhere. And somebody that's not familiar with it going nowhere can have a problem right there. And we were told that it had not been finally, that was not the final paving.
Okay. Well, when you said the top coat, we installed it two layers, and both layers have been installed. I know there's been a rework on at least one of the stripings at the request of the town that's been implemented.
Yeah, the road's not final from our perspective. I will say that they were out, I think, this morning, Dave, putting in the curb that we had asked them to put in. Do you want to speak to that a little bit, please?
Well, we had a meeting about a week and a half ago now with the site contractor for the project, who did the road, with our town engineers, DBF. And we sent comments back to Reynolds Excavating, the site contractor, that the surface of the road itself is, as we described it, washboard in many areas. And the communications we got back from Reynolds was that the actual paving company had some difficulties with equipment when they were doing the project. So we had suggested a mill and overlay for a final coat now that they thought would alleviate the problem. I don't know what they've come up with since. He was going to talk to the paving company and get back to us, and that was as of this morning. And then the other additional thing that Ms. Allen's referring to was the on the entrance there, we see a lot of truck traffic where you're not supposed to be able to make a right turn going in from Flower Street, which was part of the agreed-upon site plan, the deal, if you will, is being used. It's tearing up the surface there. So based on our comment and observation of that, they went ahead and they were putting curbing in there. So I didn't get out there this afternoon, but this morning they were putting that curbing, you know, like a mounding to keep someone from doing that and to make sure that entrance is only entering from the Route 50 side, not entering from the Flower Street side if you're trying to get into the complex.
The directional traffic pattern is so confusing out there. I'm just waiting for an accident to happen with the number of buses in the morning, in the evening, and Stephen Decatur High School has more students driving to school than any school in the county. They had to build an additional parking lot. All those kids, the buses, it's just an accident waiting to happen. I don't know how you got approval for the direction of the way the traffic flows. I drive it every day just about, and I get confused sometimes myself. And some people think it's a dual road coming from the highway from 50. And that lane that goes into the schools, they think that's a regular lane. When they get up to the end and they can't keep going, then they're confused, then they got to come over. It's really confusing. And anybody in here, would take a ride out there and see what you think about it. But I said it from the beginning that the traffic pattern is really messed up. And it's just waiting to have an accident out there.
I know we did build it per the approved plans. And then since then, we met with the school district in the town to change some of the striping to make it as asked. I'm happy to continue that conversation. There's a better way to skin that cat.
Just a suggestion, and it may not be appropriate or applicable to this particular traffic pattern, but we had these in a couple cases where the original dual highway in town was so narrow that there wasn't what would be now required for the median, turn lanes. So instead of being able to turn both ways, they're restricted to turning either south, either west, or east. And through, I'll just call them like plastic sticks with little reflectors on them.
Sure.
Might be something to look at. It's not extremely expensive, but it's been working on this roadway out here since 1957, or at least since not too long after that when they realized the problem. And there might be a fairly simple solution that it could at least reduce the potential hazard for accidents. Just throwing it at me.
I'll look into that.
Can I pose a question? Is the applicant in good standing with the town?
Mm-hmm.
I make a motion that we approve.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the allocation of the, 24 EDUs, the equivalent dwelling units, for Oceans East. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
And I presume with that, Mr. Rainier, upon payment of the required fee, the building permits will be issued. Is that correct?
There's no conditions.
Okay, thank you.
You'll need to fill out an application and pay the permit fees and all of that. Our turnaround time is typically something around 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next is motion 2018-20, a motion approving special Sunday permits, permit applications for Boggs Dish Room Post, Boggs Dish Room, American Legion Post 123 on three different dates, Sunday, November 11th, Sunday, November 25th, and Sunday, December 9th.
I'll make a motion that we approve all three dates.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve all three dates. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Now we're up to motion 2018-21, a motion approving park events and accepting the 2019 event schedule. And the schedule, you know, as what we've done in the last couple of years, is being done months in advance. And the chore falls under, as it has in the past, Ivy Wells, our Economic and Community Development Director.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Nice to see you. First, before I go into the events, I'd like to introduce Allison Early. She is our new administrative assistant who started October 1st, so I'd like to just welcome her. She's here tonight to meet you and to make your acquaintance. And also to get more involved and to be involved in what we're getting ready to do right now, which is to make the announcement of the 2019 events for the Town of Berlin and also the Chamber, Arts and Entertainment Committee, and the Calvin B. Taylor Museum and others, respectively. I am here to ask for approval of the following events. I'll just go down a laundry list, and I'll also note the lists that include alcohol permit, either by the Chamber or by a nonprofit that is wishing to use it as a fundraiser. And I'll do this quickly. Please stop me if you have any questions. Starting at the top, we have Restaurant Week, our Kids Valentine event, which happens at the Visitor Center on a Saturday in February, Spring Celebration, the Berlin Little League Parade, Take Pride in Berlin Cleanup Week, Spring Just Walk, Berlin Jazz and Blues, Reggae Play Day, Spring Cruisers, Memorial Day at the Monument, Memorial Day Parade, Concert on the Lawn, Afternoon on the Lawn, a free outdoor movie on Main Street, Bathtub Races, another outdoor movie, the historic July 3rd celebration, that's the Calvin B. Taylor Museum, fireworks, an outdoor movie, Concert on the Lawn, another outdoor movie, Peach Festival, National Night Out, movie, summer sidewalk sale, Concert on the Lawn, movie on Main Street, Shakespeare on Pitt Street, Small Town Throwdown, Concert on the Lawn, Paint Berlin, Plain Air, Fiddler's Convention, Touch a Truck, Fall Cruisers, Oktoberfest, another movie, that's our Halloween movie, Fall Just Walk, The Tree Lighting, Classical Christmas, The Christmas Parade, The Candlelight Tour at the Museum, New Year's Eve, both the kids event that is at 6 and the adult event, which obviously starts at 10 to 1 a.m. We also have second Friday art strolls. That would include the closing of Commerce Street for live music and also Jefferson Street for the Maker's Market. And then our farmers markets on Sundays from May through October. The alcohol events, as I aforementioned, are for Berlin Jazz and Blues, Reggae Play Day, Small Town Throwdown, Fiddler's Convention, Oktoberfest, and the adult portion of New Year's Eve. There is another alcohol event that the museum asks for on their own for the Afternoon on the Lawn, and they will be coming to you separately to ask for your permission for alcohol on that event.
You said there was an alcohol event sponsored by a nonprofit.
Right. The chamber events, the Berlin Chamber of Commerce, they are the ones who get the alcohol permit for those events. The Small Town Throwdown is a nonprofit gets those the alcohol permit for that. Historically, it's been the Berlin Arts and Entertainment Committee to get the alcohol permit, and they receive the funds from the sale of beer and wine that day. And then the New Year's Eve has been the Lower Eastern Shore Heritage Area Council, who's received that alcohol permit, and it's used as their fundraiser. I'm currently working with Town Administrator Laura Allen on a policy to allow other nonprofits within the town to be able to benefit from those alcohol permits.
Just an observation. We don't have any events in March. So if you're listening and you may have some great event, you know March is open.
Yes.
By pure chance.
Let me, if I may.
I think we're at 48. Right. 46 or something like that this year, not 49.
If I may, March, you know, it comes in like a lion and leaves like a lamb. But also, depending on the Easter holiday, sometimes there is an event in March. The spring celebration is historically Easter weekend, so it could fall in March. And then we also participate in the Ocean City St. Patrick's Day Parade in March as well.
Okay. And just like someone said, I guess you have to take a break sometimes. Did you ever get a phone call from a young lady that was interested in having a Thanksgiving Day parade?
No, sir. No.
Really?
Did
anyone?
I did.
You
yes.
Did.
Yes, she and I spoke, and I haven't heard back from her.
Okay.
Ivy, can you clear something up for me, please? You stated something about nonprofits, more nonprofits coming for more alcohol events.
No.
We only have 6 alcohol permits that we issue per year.
Sure.
4 of them, the Berlin Chamber of Commerce gets the alcohol permit. They're the ones in charge of the beer sales. They are the ones who benefit from the beer sales in order to be able to, that helps sustain their budget. So the 2 events that Berlin Main Street and the town sponsor, Oktoberfest, actually the chamber does get the license for Oktoberfest, but for Small Town Throwdown, which is an event sponsored by John Fager, he underwrites the entire event. For the last 2 years, it's been Berlin Arts and Entertainment Committee that has gotten the alcohol permit for that. So they're in charge of beer and wine sales, and that means that they get the permit, they pay for it, they staff the beer truck, and then they collect the proceeds from the sales that day. And then also for New Year's Eve, the Lower Eastern Shore Heritage Area Council has gotten the alcohol permit for that event for New Year's Eve, and they benefit from that. But in speaking with several other executive directors of local nonprofits, there's an interest that they be considered to be able to use that as their fundraiser as well. So we are currently working on a policy for that.
What you're saying, if I understand correctly, which I think when we talked about this a week ago or so, mm-hmm. is they're not talking about adding more events,
no.
but rotating the New Year's Eve event, which is the only one which doesn't have a study regular.
Correct. That and the sponsor. And Small Town Throwdown as well.
Okay. Small Town Throwdown, but of course there, again, Mr. Fager covers the cost, but the proceeds from alcohol sales go to benefit a nonprofit.
Correct.
Which we determine.
Correct.
Okay.
So in history, yeah. So it's just the license gets rotated throughout different nonprofits because several nonprofits have approached me asking if they could be considered to be able to benefit from selling beer or wine at one of our alcohol events, and I didn't really have an answer to that, so Laura Allen and I are working on a policy for that.
Yeah, and I guess here's the thing. I would say, before you go to all that problem, we don't want to, I think, we've got something that works. It's working well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make it any more complicated than it already is. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, is, you know, we can't make everybody happy every day. You know, we just can't. There's too many, you know, we're trying our best, and I think we're doing a lot with the resources we have.
Agreed.
And I just would just say, you know, sometimes no is the right answer. And that's what I would suggest
or anybody saying, hey, we want this, we want this. You know, we've got a good situation. It's been worked for at least the last few years. I don't remember exactly, but it's evolved over time. We've learned by experience. We're not expanding the number of events, and generally speaking, I think we can anticipate that the number of events will not grow, but will gradually diminish a bit. You know, we're basically the strongest events of what remain. We let the laws of supply and demand rather than us arbitrarily just saying, this you made it, you didn't. Some folks, they just realize, hey, we're doing all this work and we're not making the money we need to make for our nonprofit. We can do it better another way, and that's fine. And that's regardless if it's alcohol event or anything else.
No, I understand. But having been on Main Street with my business for 23 years and being here since 85 and paying taxes, I still feel very strongly that with all the liquor licenses that we have in town and these folks that are paying the taxes and paying the burden and carrying the freight, that there's plenty of places to still go get a drink during these functions. And I understand that they're raising money. I get that.
The irony is the people who benefit the most from the events, sometimes some retailers do, some don't. But the places with the alcoholic beverage licenses are the ones benefiting the most. I mean, they've got people, they can't even hold everyone. So
there's a special...
Because these special events are bringing so many more people to town, and a lot of those people, I don't know what percentage, but it fills up the restaurants every single one we've got.
There's also a separate license that the restaurant has to obtain in order for them to be able to do what you say, where as we... with beer on the street, it's they're under our license, not our license, but they're under the alcohol permit that has been obtained either by the chamber or by the nonprofit. The Atlantic Hotel is a special exception because they are allowed alcohol in that front area. But for instance, the Globe, they would have to get a completely separate license in order for people to be able to walk out with an alcoholic beverage, which is, I know it's very costly.
And that's not our decision. That's the Worcester County Liquor License Board. Yeah, just Worcester County License
Board. No, look, I totally get that. I totally understand that. I don't have a problem with that. But as Councilman Burrell and Councilman Tindall have pointed out, being out in the public, I hear it all the time. I feel like a triple-sized Paula sitting up here, and that, yeah, it comes up to alcohol again, and I am voting against it, unfortunately.
Okay. No further discussion? Can I make a motion?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve 2018-21 and 22.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve motions 2018-21 and 2018-22. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Thank you very much. And thank you, Ivy, for explaining that. Next is Five's motion 2018-22.
Sorry.
Done that one.
Yep. He combined the two together. So
yes, yes.
So he can get to
his. Good afternoon.
Double.
Again,
It's
been a long day.
Now, this is when we're all asking for legal advice since it's on Troy.
Okay, this is now motion 2018-23, a motion approving TP Development Limited Liability Corporation to transfer 29 equivalent dwelling units, EDUs, from the assisted living site that was formerly planned for an assisted living site for hospice to and Windy Way Farm land, and basically it's a transfer on the same development property at two different locations. So, if you please explain a little more eloquently than I did, please.
Well, for the record, Mark Cropper, 6200 Coastal Highway, Suite 200, Ocean City, Maryland. And to my left,
Austin Purnell.
We're here with regard to a letter that was submitted on September the 17th, 2018, by TP Development LLC, requesting the transfer of 29 EDUs from the assisted living site, which currently has 42 ready-to-serve fees remaining. This would leave 13 on that site. If you place those
plans, which recently was approved as phase 4 and 5 for 30 single-family lots. The site currently has one ADU allocated, so with the additional 29, that would make a total of 30. And as the mayor indicated, this is all within the same project where the EDUs were initially allocated. Attached to that letter of September 17th was an exhibit, a diagram, which I trust you each have a copy of, that shows the existing allocation and what would be the reallocation should the mayor and council look favorably upon this requested transfer. Is that correct, Mr.
That is,
Purnell?
That is correct.
You've done a great job.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the applicant's request to transfer 29 EDUs.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve the transfer of 29 EDUs from the former assisted living site for hospice to the new site on the same development. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Great job, Austin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yes. For the record, the vote was 4-0 with Councilman Purnell recusing himself.
Now, well, now make your evening. You got
everything. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Okay. Excuse me. Next, motion 2018-26, a motion to authorize the staff to enter into a contract with Axon Enterprise for a body cam taser assurance plan in the amount of $36,751.50, let's not forget that, over a period of 5 years. And Chief, will you kind of tell us what this is about?
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
This is the body camera program that we actually have been reviewing for a while and actually at the behest of the council probably 2.5 years ago. We have an opportunity to go ahead and enter in on this contract and actually have a cloud-based system in which we don't have to have actual on-site storage. And we are actually trying to go ahead and get it under the wire so we can go ahead and get the $5,000 in discounts. And once we go ahead and iron everything out, again, we have actually had the opportunity to have Dave review everything, move forward with general orders and policies and deployment of body cameras to all 10 of our road police officers. Currently, Salisbury City, Wicomico, Fruitland, and Snow Hill all utilize this actual platform, and there are only body cameras in the Tri-County area.
Okay. How long will the footage be stored?
The question is, how long do we want to go ahead and store it? With the actual amount we have now, our thought is going to be 120 days, which is the exact same policy as Wicomico and Salisbury. Right now, with size and space, Princess Anne went ahead and went down to 90 days. That's non-evidentiary footage. That means everything's kept that long. Anything that actually is deemed or listed as evidentiary or use of force or a whole list of components immediately is grabbed and archived, and that's not counted in that 120 days or 90 days.
And how long is that footage kept? If it's identified as needing to be archived.
We would actually have to, if we're talking about criminal proceedings, we have to confer with the state's attorney okay. prior to destroying it.
All right.
Are they on like a recharge type system?
It actually has a docking station, and they actually get charged for the actual operation itself, but the actual storage of the video gets actually placed in the cloud, so it actually goes somewhere else, and we don't have to hold it within the Berlin Police Department. And I think the plus for this system is the state's attorney's office can go ahead and grab whatever they need, and they don't have to physically get a copy from us. Right now, we actually have our body cameras, and state police, they just love it. I mean, they have all the troopers, and everything has to be manually copied and sent. That's how the same thing is with all of our vehicles. So we would want to go ahead and move away from that and we'll be able to go ahead and redact something. We'll be able to go ahead and fuzz out a face and those sort of things with the software that's embedded in this actual system.
Is there a policy that will go in effect with these?
Have to have a policy before they're operational. We're actually in front of me now. I actually have Salisbury's. We actually have a draft policy, and we have Princess Anne's policy in front of us to go ahead and let their work out. So only thing we're trying to do is have the ability to go ahead and sign the contract so we can get the $5,000 in the discounts, and we won't be on board until we're ready to be on board, and we'll come and speak to, number one, Dave, and the policy has to be in front of you and the council prior to.
And roughly, I mean, not exact date, roughly we're talking about a couple months.
Right now we've already demoed equipment, so we, number one, know the equipment. Once we get and sign the contract, as soon as David says you have a policy that meets everything, and again, we're going to have to review it and review it. I'm thinking a couple months. Like I said, again, if we have there come Christmas time or New Year, it won't be an issue for us to start at that time. Again, we won't sign into and get the equipment until we're ready to, so we'll go ahead and have that whole period of time. But right now, we just have to go ahead and see how long it takes the policy to get him to be approved.
Chief, Reader's Digest version, how do these basically work? I understand that they can work upon, you know, activating your lights and sirens, but how else do they work?
They do not. This is a body camera, so it actually sits here. You have to push the button and turn it on.
So they're manually operated.
That is correct. We have in-camera, and that's by flick of the switch. That's something totally different, and we have that already. But what we're actually doing now is when we walk inside of the house, when we go ahead and walk into the park and we're away from the vehicle, none of those things are actually being captured.
So will the officers have access to any of this footage?
They definitely will. Again, the purpose of having the video is for them to go ahead and self-critique themselves so they'll be able to go ahead and review it, to go ahead and assist them in writing the reports, to go ahead and either have evidentiary at their value for all court cases. So they'll definitely have access to it. Can they go ahead and change it? No.
So they can either change, delete?
No. They cannot.
Okay. Motion to approve.
One second, if you don't mind. With the demo, is this contract going to have enough cloud storage to hold for 120 days so that we're not in the same predicament having to reduce that to enough? 90-day hold time.
That is the actual number he came up with talking about the representative and Lieutenant Fisher. But if it doesn't, we can go ahead and always buy more storage. Again, we're talking about 75 cents per gigabyte right now is how it's translating.
And is there, I think I remember something about grant funding through Legit.
We've already gotten the $5,000 grant.
Okay, so we've gotten that. Good. All right. Thank you.
Okay, motion to approve. Okay.
We have a motion to approve
2018-26.
Thank you. Which authorizes the police department to enter into contract for body cams for our every member of our every law enforcement officer in our department. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. And that amount of that contract is $36,751.50.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next is motion 2018-27, motion awarding the mobility and parking study contract to Sabra and Associates in the amount of $24,480. Laura, if you bring everybody up to date.
Sure. We issued several months ago an RFQ for a mobility and parking study. It had three different sections to it. The idea to do a very comprehensive review of the town's parking situation, take a look at pedestrian and bicycle access, make some recommendations regarding parking structures, take a look at potentially making some streets one way. So we received, I believe, five proposals. One was deemed incomplete. We reviewed a paper review, came down to two top firms, and we interviewed the two top firms. It was a committee of Ivy, Dave Engelhart, Natalie, Mary, and Jeff. The interview process resulted in their recommendation to hire Sabra and Associates based on the completeness of their presentation and some of the examples that they gave they felt were really good fit to Berlin. I've checked references. Ivy's also checked references. They come back highly recommended. In fact, one community I spoke with said that you get a huge value for your dollar. Like, you can keep going back and asking for more, and then they keep giving it to you. We consider them to be a very good fit for the community and are recommending that the council enter into a contract with, for the first task of these services in an amount totaling $24,480. The idea being, if this first set of tasks goes well and we want to do additional work, we would probably contract with them for a subsequent phase, probably in the beginning of next fiscal year.
Any questions for Laura considering this proposed contract?
I'm just surprised that the chief of police was not included in this selection process.
That's true, but I did send him the RFQ. He took a look at the scope of services portion, and we did talk about what else should be included, and I believe it was his recommendation to have them look at converting some streets to be one way, if I remember correctly, Chief.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve 2018-27, 24480.
We have a motion from Councilmember Purnell to approve the awarding of the mobility and parking study to Sabre and Associates in the amount of $24,480. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Great, thanks.
Thank you very much. Alrighty. Now we have the first reading of an ordinance, proposed ordinance 2018-07. And this is granting and basically renewing with some revisions a franchise for Sandpiper Energy, which is for many years was known as Eastern Shore Gas, but which is based, has an office here based in Berlin, to continue to provide natural gas services within the town of Berlin.
Do you need me to read the whole thing?
No, it's
okay. Can I just hit the highlights?
Sure.
For the group?
Yeah.
So there's a gentleman here from Sandpiper if you wanted to talk to him. His name is Dean. But I wanted to just mention that the franchise agreement requires a $15,000 administrative fee to be paid by the company. It's an exclusive agreement for 10 years. This document clarifies the permitting process that they have to follow. It specifies they're expected to follow the town process and town standards, that they need to address temporary repairs and have them finalized within 30 days. It requires them to provide us as-built plans within 45 days. It enables the town to require a bond as needed. Sandpiper has agreed to list the town as an additional assured party. Sandpiper will use best efforts to respond within 30 minutes to emergencies and requires the town's permission if they were to go change ownership or transfer ownership. They need to come to the town to get their our permission to do that. So those are the highlights of the proposed ordinance changes.
And when you say it's an exclusive agreement, it is not giving them the exclusive right to only run the gas lines in town. Another company could come in.
No, it's exclusive. It's no longer non-exclusive. It's exclusive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick favor?
Sure.
If you look at page 2 of the contract, subsection 2.2, the second line at the end reads, franchisee shall pay the town a flat fee of $10,000. Can we change that to 15, please?
Yeah. See it there.
I do not.
All right.
It's 2.2?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's in the 2.2. Written section.
The
administrative.
The verbiage does not match the new.
Okay. All right. I'll check that then.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank
it's
you.
Just an extra.
$10,000.
Yeah. I don't think there is such a figure. 15.10.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
it. Yep.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
But with that correction? So now, do we have a motion?
It's just first reading.
Thank you.
So,
all for that.
Next
meeting. Thank you. Okay, now we're up to our departmental reports. Yeah, thank you very much for being here tonight. If there's anybody have any questions, Mr. Sherman? Yeah, we met the other day.
So feel free to come back at on the 22nd for the public hearing.
Yeah.
You all are aging, man.
First departmental report is Finance Director Natalie Salee.
I'm happy, thank you.
Thank Okay, thank you. Mary's not here. Water Resources Director and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Real quick, just wanted to let you know that the environmental signs have been installed at Berlin Falls Park, and I believe there's going to be an ribbon cutting.
Yes, can I jump in and just say that there's going to be a ribbon cutting on Tuesday, October 23rd at 5:30 p.m. to celebrate the installation of those beautiful interpretive signs. Hope to see you all there. Thanks.
Yes.
And we worked with the Ivy and installed the wayfinding signs around town. And also we, with a lot of Tim's help, we had another successful Touch a Truck event.
Yeah.
All right, that's your cue to chime in there, Tim.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The only thing I really wanted to report on is the Touch a Truck event that we had this past Saturday. Even though the weather was not the greatest, it was overcast and a little drizzly outside, we still had a really good turnout. The kids seemed to really love it, and the adults liked it also. The kids interacted, you know, with our equipment, like our Digger Derrick, for example. We actually let them operate that and move a 5-gallon bucket around with our people with them. They liked doing that. They met with the canine dog, and they really enjoyed the Powertown display. That's the electrical side of it.
They've done in the upper left-hand corner of the...
Right, on the left-hand side up there. That was a display that we bought 4 years ago when we started this, and the kids really like that a lot because they see what electricity can actually do, and it's, you know, I would always ask them at the end of it, you know, I'd be like, well, what did you learn today? And they, you know, they were like, well, they learned not to touch this, and I said, well, you learned that your parents, now you know why they want you to turn off the light switch when you leave the room and the TV and the lights and that type of thing. But it was a very good turnout, and it turned out well.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And it was. I was down there briefly, and the town administrator was, and it seemed to me the largest number of kids I've seen for a Touch a Truck Day.
Seems to be growing every year, and they really look forward to it.
Good.
You know, I was wondering in the beginning because I didn't see that many, but as soon as 10 o'clock hit, it was just like, the parking lot just filled up, and it went from there.
Great.
So, thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
I would say that Tim did a wonderful job with Touch a Truck, and the town was loaded. With the Seahawk Century, the Touch a Truck, and with cruisers, we had a lot of folks moving in and out of the town of Berlin safely.
Safely. Thank you.
Nothing else to report.
No, it's great. It's great. Great to be able to report that. Next is Planning Director David.
I have nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor.
All right, thank you. Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Just one thing. This Saturday is Oktoberfest and our 150th celebration events going on at Artisans Green and downtown. Mayor G will give a speech at 2 p.m., and then there will also be a celebration for the winning Little League teams, both baseball and softball, right after the mayor speaks on Artisans Green. So hope everyone comes out on Saturday.
Can I just ask, you're expecting the weather to be okay for Saturday?
I just checked the weather, and it says 7% chance of rain, high 65. So I think we're good.
Okay.
Perfect. Just like to make an amendment to your report. Short speech.
Pardon?
Short speech.
Yes.
Oh, your short speech.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Three quick things. Thursday at 11:30 in the Chamber, Sharon Timmons. You will host that for her retirement. On Friday the 12th, Council Member Kendall, Dave Engar, Carol Duffy, and myself will be over at the MML for the Sustainable Maryland Award.
And that's in Annapolis, right?
Yes.
Yes. Great.
And in regards to the body cams, Tim Ainsworth, the Executive Director for JIT, will be here at the meeting on 11:13 to do the actual presentation of the grant.
Excellent.
Thank you for attending. Thank you for being here and representing the council. We're very, very fortunate to get that certification again. Next is the town administrator's report.
I have nothing to add.
Okay. I don't have any comments.
No, sir.
Anyone in the council?
I have one.
Go ahead.
I'd like to congratulate my colleagues on their successful election. And
Thank you. First round's on you.
If I could just go back to my report, here's some photos of the signs.
Yes.
Oh. Sorry.
The new interpretive signs.
I forgot that Kelsey had put them in the PowerPoint, and when Jane talked about the signs, I thought I'd just jump in. So that's what they look like.
Yeah, they're good.
Well, what time did you say the event was for Sharon on Thursday?
11:30.
It's Thursday.
Thanks.
Stay here for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not Monday night anymore.
I have an organizational question. If a citizen can't contact a department head, would it be okay to forward them to you, and then you can tell them whoever they need to speak
with? Absolutely, yeah, no problem.
Thanks.
Do you want a card?
I can give you a card. No.
You got a phone number?
I'm good.
Yeah. We're all good.
Laura's the default for all things that come under the town's requirement.
True.
Good. Do we have any comments from the public?
Here we go.
Do we have any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you so much for your patience tonight.
Try to make
groups that
cake. It's like the text ordinance people in is the controversy up front, so that's what the body.
I want somewhere different this time.
Which I'm not going to have to sign a contract because I'm still working on
it. Did you get the letter?
Okay.
Jimmy's girl.
Sounds good.
Oh, God, thank you,
Mayor.
Now, the guys at Delmar Pizza just bought Jimmy's
girl. So, Chris, are you waiting for me?
Is that right?
Yeah, they're not going to turn it into a pizza joint.
I was sort of expecting you to say, oh, my gosh, why haven't I heard from you?
It's still open, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting you to
now, what they're going to do with what the guy that bought it told me the other night, he said.
Yeah, let me come down. That's it for you, Valerie. You're good to go.
Okay.
The restaurant.
Hey, hello. How are you doing?
Good.
And they built this great big building. Jimmy's Grill did a couple years ago.
Next to it.
Yeah.
And what Tommy from Delmar Pizza wants to do is to turn that into a wedding menu.
You can see there's a lot going on.
He said all these places have got these old barns and all this stuff.
It doesn't look like it when you walk down the street.
This is what he told me. He said they charge $10,000 a wedding and there's no food. He said, so I'm going to do the same thing next door. Yeah. You're going to change it up on the appearance.
How is deal. Everybody tells me this.
If I
missed
anything,
yeah.
Quite
they said the meals are good.
I
got stopped in Detroit. Away. That's you know, they
seafood is good then. It says.
You know, the last, 3-4 years, they've donated everything for Christmas break.
Delmar?
Yeah, Delmar Pizza. Pick it up, they donate pizza, chicken.
Okay. Oh, you mean for here?
Yeah, for here.
That's because of you?
I like them. I love that. I do a lot of civil.
Oh, yeah, I know. Troy did that. It was nice artistic ability.
We might call him again for that.
Right. And then that one's for the alcohol match. There is a Christmas letter and 5 per month for that as well. So.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I'll tell you the one thing they did. They did 2 things. My first one. My son married. I'm on the party. I'm in there and I'm on the catering. So, tell us what time you'll be there. They charge me 9. Hmm. They threw me a surprise 6-day.
Oh, yeah, each one has 2 pages, but you just need the first of each page.
That sounds good.
Yep.
I think they'll just scratch out the movement.
Somebody likes it.
Somebody likes it.
Oh, she probably would not appreciate that.
Yeah, appreciate
you later.
See ya. Nothing. I could have you sign Rainier's agreement. It's a separate page from the page he has to sign, so if he brings it to me signed, then I at least have your signature, unless you prefer to just wait until...
No, I'll sign it.
Okay.
Yeah, make your job, and no need to make it harder than it has to be. Because I know
hopefully
you're
he brings it tomorrow, because... Yeah.
And maybe he brings the check, too.
Yes.
That's
he told me, I asked him when he first got here, I said, do you have your check? And he said, I prefer to wait till after the meeting. And I said, well, it's going to be a long one. And he said, I'll stay. So then I thought, well, maybe Mark Cropper is going to give it to me and stay. But then he left, so yeah. I was like,
I don't think they have any idea how long this meeting.
Right.
I mean, quite frankly, thank God they're not all of it.
It didn't go as bad as I thought it would, lengthwise. I thought it went pretty quick for the amount of
things on the agenda.
Yeah.
In the size of the packet.
Yep.
Which I've had.
That's the last one.
Good.
And then,
okay.
This is just the side letter, which will require your signature.
Okay, so we'll check one final change.
Yeah, Laura gave me a changed one, so I guess that is the.
Okay.
If you want to actually stop the system, well.
I'm not touching that
system. Okay, I say not the denim.
No, I'm not touching it. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. A couple more. You're not done yet. Oh.
This will make them official, though.
Yep. Is that for, okay, I'll get you to sign them while you're here, too.
If you should see me coming back up the steps, I'm like, oh. So is the baby asleep right now?
Hopefully. I don't know. John's home with him, so I guess we'll see. He was not happy when I left. He was screaming, and I said, good luck. See you later. These two are understandable.
Oh, yes.
You did not do that to him.
It's his baby, too. Good luck. Here you go.
Now you know.
Sorry, you're almost done, I promise.
No problem. We'll never meet the night they had to sign all the stuff for them.
Okay, and the next is, this is the EDU agreement, which I did not get Elroy to sign because I thought we were holding off, but